By the way, if you look at today's text, verse 10, it reads, "For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil." Have you noticed that some people misquote this verse saying, "Money is evil"? How many have heard of that? So, if you want to quote, do it right. The love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. That's the right quote, okay? Now, this morning's sermon is for me first, before it is for you. I need it. And then it is also for those who would like to move forward in their faith and practice to the next level. If you believe that you have godliness in your life, that's good. And let me tell you what is the next step for you. Contentment. Have you read it? Godliness actually is a means of great gain when it is accompanied by contentment. Contentment to me, if you think of a rocket booster, it shoots up and you have a booster and shoots farther up. That's contentment to godliness. If you're just happy the way you are now and have no desire to know God or love Him more, you may not get much out of sermon this morning. However, if you desire to move forward and upward in your faith journey, the message is for you. As you listen to the sermon and continually apply the sermon points in your life every day, your faith and practice will grow leaps and bounds to the next level. Once again, the topic is contentment. For us to stay on the same page, let me begin with the definition of the word contentment, what I mean by that. Beginning with Oxford Dictionary, which defines contentment, I quote, "a feeling of happiness or satisfaction with what you have." You can use this word, for example, "they found contentment in living a simple life." Good enough. I looked further up in the original language, the Greek language from which the English word content or contentment comes. It means, in Greek word, resourceful, self-sufficient, or satisfied. Please bear with me as I share my own understanding of the word contentment based upon my scripture study. Contentment is being cool, C-O-O-L, in all circumstances. You know, the youth once called me, "Pastor Choi, you're so cool." I said, "Good, thanks." That's what it means. Being cool in all circumstances. When you're content, you have peace and confidence in God. When you're content, you'll find yourself sufficient in all life situations. When you're content, you're ready for any situation, tough and stressful situation, and so forth. When you're content, you always have room for God's kingdom as well as room for others. That's the lifestyle of contentment I'm going to talk about this morning. Now, before I proceed, though, let me talk about the advantage of contentment. What are the benefits of the lifestyle of contentment? Once again, from the study of the Bible, I have discovered at least two following benefits in the lifestyle of contentment. Number one, you will avoid temptation, a snare, and foolish and harmful desires that lead you to ruin and destruction. I'm just quoting today's text. You will avoid temptation and snare and foolish and harmful desires that lead you to ruin and destruction. If you ask me how I understand contentment is like a security guard that goes before you and prepares your way straight, removing all the obstacles and minimizing harmful situations. That's the first benefit. The second benefit you will get from contentment is this. You will harvest joy, peace, and tranquility and sufficiency in all good works and even good health. Isn't that what we are looking for? You will have low blood pressure from the contentment. To me, contentment is a divine medicine for your spirit, for your soul, and for your body. You know, when it comes down to lifestyles and possessions, by the way, today's text, the context of today's text is what? Material possessions and the love of money, isn't it? When it comes down to lifestyles and possessions, there is a road before us, a fork to be exact, split up in two directions. One road sign says God in this direction. The other one says money. One way says contentment and the other road says love of money. And one way says trust in God and the other one says trust in yourself. The question is, which road would you take? This is what Jesus says. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth at the same time. Folks, that's Jesus' word, not mine. Choose only one path, either God or money, contentment or the love of money, Christ or self. You choose yourself only one. Now please understand that God never forces anyone to do something they don't want to. That's the beauty and the strength of Christianity. The choice is always up to you and me. Therefore, using your will, would you choose God or would you choose money? Will you choose contentment or the love of money? Would you trust in Christ or yourself? Remember, you can choose only one, not both. Once the choice is made, be prepared to live with the consequences. Okay? I'm going to talk about the consequences now. For those folks, first of all, who choose the path of the love of money, three things are bound to happen in the end. Three things. First of all, they will reap harvest, disappointment, or emptiness in the end. You know, the Bible calls such thing vanity. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, King Solomon, 3,000 years ago, by the way, King Solomon had it all the wealth, gold and silver, everything in life you could call pleasure. In the end, this is what he wrote. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money. Interesting, isn't it? He who loves money will not be satisfied with money. And in the end he says, this is vanity. You'll find emptiness. I heard the story of a man who made $1 million one day. Drug dealer. Two briefcases full of cash, $100 bills. He's throwing all this money in the air, laughing at first. And in the end he found himself sobbing uncontrollably. That's what he called emptiness, folks. Vanity. Secondly, those who love money over God will lose their faith in Christ and pierce themselves with griefs. I was in Michigan in the 1980s, and I got to know a friend, acquaintance more like it. He was a medical doctor. Is everything all right there? He was a medical doctor, enough money, income. He also had several properties in town. You could call him multimillionaire. Happened to come from the same, you know, country, South Korea. One time he confided in me, saying that Mr. Choi, you know, he's senior to me actually, so he called my name, Gayun. And let me tell you this, I had to sue my family in Korea. Over what? Their parents' inheritance. He didn't go in details. When I heard that, I thought to myself, why do you do that? As if you need more money. I found himself piercing himself with a lot of griefs. Anyway, that's what happens. Thirdly, those who want to get rich will find themselves compromise spiritual and moral principles for the sake of gaining money. They may find themselves stealing or cheating, and sometimes even using violence for monetary gains. Let me take you back to the time of Jesus. Before Jesus started his ministry, there was a man whose name was John. We call him John the Baptist. Why? People came to him and they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. After they were baptized, John asked them to live worthy of their repentance. So people asked him, how should I live my life? And one of the groups that came to John was soldiers. They were questioning John, saying, and what about us? What shall we do? And John said to them, do not take money from anyone by force or accuse anyone falsely, and be content with your wages. Wait a minute, isn't that interesting? Obviously, back then, soldiers were hired for money, mercenaries, and then they would abuse their power to hurt people when they were unhappy with their wages. Now, what about those folks who choose the path of God over money? They too will gain the following three things in the end. First of all, they will be spared from unnecessary temptations and snares. For example, we heard about addiction to gambling. You heard about it. Those folks who are content would never gamble. Why do you gamble when you feel like I'm happy with what I have? So you're spared from such temptation. Next thing, they will have their character, the key word is character, built in godliness. Listen to Hebrews 13:5. It says, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For God himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. Do you want character in you and your children? Be sure to make sure that they are free from the love of money, being content with what they have. Such character of godliness, fairness and honesty and confidence is built and found only in those who are aware of God's presence. God is with me all the time, and those who experience God's provision in their daily lives. Thirdly, those people who put God over anything else, especially the money, will gain something called peace. In my term, coolness in all circumstances. And let me introduce to you this time Paul the Apostle. You heard of his name many a time. If I had to choose one person who can talk about contentment and peace in all life situations, Paul would be the one. Let's consider what he has been through, right? See if he is qualified to talk about. This is what he wrote in 2 Corinthians. I have worked much harder than other apostles. And I've been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. And 3 I was shipwrecked. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger, and I've gone without sleep, and often gone without food, and I have been cold and naked. If you think that's not enough trouble, here's more. Paul the Apostle suffered an incurable. He prayed for so many people, they were all healed in the name of the Lord, but himself was not healed. Scholars believe that either it was eye disease or epilepsy. In my own understanding, in a nutshell, Paul suffered immensely. He knew about life troubles, if you're talking about it. Yet the good news is this. He was never fully down and out. You see, he was never overtaken or crushed by such adversities. This is what he said. We are afflicted, sure, in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Do you see the resilience in every single phrase? We're down, but we're up again. The spirit of resilience. So my question for Mr. Paul, what's the secret of such a triumphant life? How can I be content like you in your life, in my life? I'm sure you ask the same question. This is what Mr. Paul says. Don't look at me. Look up to Christ. Let's listen to him again. In Philippians chapter 4, 11 and 13, he says, I have learned to be content in all circumstances in Christ who gives me strength. You know, we love to quote, I can do all things in Christ. Philippians 4:13. A lot of us love to do that. But did you know the context of when it is written, it is all about circumstances and particularly monetary and just the material possessions too. He continues in 2 Corinthians 4:7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. He's pointing out, it's not me, it's God and Christ in me. Let me repeat, the earthen vessel is you. Earthen vessel is me. The treasure in us is Christ. We have the great power of God in us that surpasses all life's circumstances. I'm sure you want that, so do I. So the conclusion is this, which one would you choose? Would you choose God? Would you choose the money? Would you choose the lifestyle of contentment or choose the love of money? Would you choose Christ or would you choose yourself? Those people who choose Christ will harvest the life of peace and tranquility in all circumstances. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, it is clear from the scripture that Christians are not exempt from life challenges. We all go through. The difference is that the Lord is with us. Instead of removing all the troubles from our lives and make it trouble-free, you say, my child, I am with you. I want you to be strong. I want you to be a character of godliness and contentment. So how do we do it? Mr. Paul, the apostle, points out to Christ. Yes, we can do it in Christ. In all circumstances, by learning to be content. Yes, Lord, help us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Today is the last Sunday of the month, so as we always did, we're going to pray for the healing for those folks who could use the healing of your physical illness or troubles you have. So instead of, I always invite you to come to the forward, to the altar. But instead, today, we'll do it a little different way. And let me tell you the story of Jesus once again. He was known as the healer. And one time, a Roman centurion is a Gentile. He was not a Jewish, but he was an officer in Roman army in charge of 100 footmen. So one of the servants was very ill and he was dying. And the centurion sent a messenger to Jesus, Rabbi, Lord, please come to my house and heal my servant. So Jesus said, okay, I'll do it. So he was walking toward the house of the Roman centurion, and the Roman centurion sent another messenger to Jesus saying, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you under my roof. I'm a Gentile, you're the Lord, and I don't feel, really qualified to have you there. So this is what I'll do. I'm a soldier, he says, and if I ask, command my the soldier, come, and he comes. If I ask him to go, and he goes. I believe in the power of your word spoken. So why don't you, Lord, just say the word that my servant will be healed where you are, and it will happen in my house. And Jesus was quite impressed with this Roman centurion's faith, and he says, I've never met a single one in Israel whose faith is stronger than this Gentile. And what happens? End of the story. The servant got healed immediately. So that's what we are going to do, Lord, together with for your healing. I humbly ask you to place your hand where you need healing. It could be your, you know, headache. It could be your heart. It could be a back problem. Wherever you need. Some people at the first service that I had, I need more than one hand to put. I have so many places to put my hands. Anyway, you decide. What I'm going to do, based upon this story, promise in the Bible, I'm going to say a few words, and we're going to ask for the divine healing. Let's do it. Lord, it's so good to know you, Lord, as Savior and Lord. And based upon your promise and your will is for us to get better and get entirely healed. In the name of Jesus, we pray. You just say the word to your child. You are healed. And it will happen. Thank you, Lord. In Christ's name, amen.